We want to just bow our hearts before you this morning. And God, I pray that each one of us in the room, doesn't matter what, where we're at, what we're facing, how much we know or are familiar with you, God, I pray that you'd make yourself real to us this morning. So God, it's with just humble hearts and grace we ask that you would come in and show us your grace and your goodness and your glory. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, Christmas is an amazing season, isn't it? Because it's full of hope. It's full of possibility. Like, the world can be like really upside down. Is our world upside down right now?
Yeah.
It really is. And the truth is this, though. Christmas has a way of putting things back on track. And it's not Christmas like the gift giving. It's what it represents, that a Savior came into the world 2,000 years ago. And I know for some of you in the room, you're kind of like, I'm familiar with this. Others, you're deeply embedded in it. You know Jesus. You love him. My hope is, just as we look at a couple things this morning, that maybe you come face to face with being in the presence of God. All throughout the series, we've been teaching on being in the presence of God during Christmas. What would it have been like to be one of the shepherds? You're out in the field, an angel shows up and says, go. You're one of the Magi. You go to worship him. You're Joseph. You're Mary. I mean, there's so many possibilities that each one of us face in our own everyday lives, because majesty, supernatural environment, when it collides with our everyday worlds, it changes us, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. It really does. It makes us look at things differently, maybe more honestly. So I know this, that when we're here, like, I believe that we face hope and possibility all the time, but often I don't think we realize it. Well, watch, let me prove it to you. How many of you guys have ever wanted a job promotion, but you didn't put the application, and then you think afterwards, should have tried? Anybody ever done that? Okay, guys, let me talk to you. How many of you ever looked at the really cute girl and you thought, I knew I should have asked her out. Now my friend did and I can't. You know, I'm kidding. It happened to me. I'm still crying over it. I'm kidding. No. No. Thank you. At least there's one other in the room being honest. I appreciate that. You know, sometimes we miss things that are way more important than that, though, like an I love you, a well done, a thank you. Sometimes we miss those moments to connect our hearts with life. Well, I think this about the Christmas season, that, listen, I believe it's so familiar in our culture that we miss the majesty of it. I think very often we don't ever come face to face with this idea that you were saved, that there was a Redeemer who came to build a bridge back to your heart with his. I think often we go through Christmas, we hurry ourselves, we're busy, we're buying gifts, and it's fun. Nothing wrong with any piece of what I just said. But then I think there's times where we get to the actual moment of Christmas and we think, snap, it's gone. Did I really recognize anything about the goodness of God? And I want us to do this morning. What is God saying to us? What might he be speaking to us that we would need to be aware of? See, when you think of this idea of coming face to face with them, I'm going to share with you two quick passages. One of them is going to be out of Luke, the other one out of Isaiah. And you have to think like this. When Jesus shows up on the scene, it's like 400 years of silence. Some of you are going like, what does that mean, silence? That means from Malachi, the end of the Old Testament, to the point where John the Baptist starts to preach and angels start showing, all of that, 400 years. So watch. How many of you guys ever sent a text and the person doesn't respond right away? Come on, talk to me. All of you guys have phones, and aren't you like, hello, I need an answer when? Can you say 400 years? Okay, 400 years is a long time to what?
Wait.
To wait. That's difficult. Well, what you have is this collision of silence and anticipation and hope and possibility. They're all happening right now. Watch, they're happening right now for you and me and us. Because just because Jesus was born 2,000 years ago does not mean that he stopped making himself real to each one of us today. So when we look at this passage in Luke, think like this. Hope is breaking on the scene. That's what's happening. Possibility is coming front and center. So Luke chapter 2, verses 10 through 14, it says, and an angel said to them, do not be afraid. Now, I shared this a few weeks ago. If an angel showed up, would you be afraid? Oh, no, I hang with angels all the time. It wouldn't freak me out a bit, Pastor. You're full of it. That's what I'm saying. If an angel popped up, you would be thinking, oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
This is way outside of the norm of what normally happens. And he says this, don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people. For how many people?
All.
That's you and me, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's everybody in the room. He says, I'm going to bring good news with great joy for all people. For today in the city of David, there's been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord, the anointed of God, literally. This will be a sign for you. You'll see him wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there appeared with the angel multitudes of heaven. So not like one angel isn't enough, right? Now the whole room's full of them and they're all singing. And I'm thinking, oh, I'm on my face. I'm afraid. I'd be trembling. You know, I don't know. I would be afraid. That's how I think I would respond. I think you would too. I don't think we'd casually go, oh, you know, hang on a minute. I'm going to go get a latte so that I can really enjoy it. You would immediately go, whoa, something very dynamic is happening. Hope, possibility is breaking onto the scene. And listen, what I'm going to say right now is free. Some of you in your lives are facing things that you're like, oh, man, I wish I knew how to handle this. I wish I knew what to do. I wish I had the next step. See, Christmas is about having a relationship with a God who leads you from place to place, from glory to glory, from step to step. Listen, I know in this room, I know some of you, but I know in this room, there is represented difficulty in families, in finances, in health. There are things that are present in our lives that call for us to really bow our hearts before a God who can meet our needs and then connect with him so that we can have peace through the situation as we're facing it. He says, good news of great joy. And these angels sing, now glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he's pleased. Listen, I want to just say something to you. God isn't mad at you. I say this so often when I preach. God is not mad at you. Look at somebody and say, God's not mad at you. God's not mad at you. So often, this is how we think of God. Like, Christmas is cool. I'm down with, like, the whole celebration thing. Even Easter's pretty cool. But, you know, like, I've done some stuff, Pastor. Anybody ever done some stuff? Come on, let's talk. Let's see if my stuff's worse than your stuff. I'm playing. I don't want to celebrate the day. I'm just saying the real is this. If we were to sit down and talk with each one of us, every single one of us is messed up. Amen. We've all blown it. We've all made mistakes. Sometimes we make mistakes and we make mistakes on top of our mistakes to cover our mistakes. Am I talking to anybody right now? See, that's part of doing life. But the better part of doing life is there's a God in the mix of this thing who wants to bring forth to you good news of great joy. So what does it mean that he's bringing good news? That's the word gospel. Eulogio, actually. You guys ever given a eulogy? Heard a eulogy at a funeral, a memorial? What he's actually saying is this. I'm coming to bring good news of what God will do in the earth. I'm coming to bring good news of his possibility, of his majesty. And that good news is of great joy. Now, I like it when the Bible is redundant. Like, sometimes you don't catch it in the English, but when it says joy, great joy, it's saying joy, magnificent joy. See, this is the kind of joy that goes like this. The root of the word is the word grace. Grace in biblical context, for those of you guys who aren't familiar with the Bible, means this. It's God's favor on you. Now, I got a question for you. Can you earn favor? See, most of us immediately go humanly. Oh, absolutely. If I work hard at work, I get favor, I get a promotion. Well, you're doing something to get that favor, aren't you? But with God, he's the opposite. He said, I'm going to give you favor whether you do something or not. Now, how many of you guys know that it's a good thing to be liked by people? How many of you guys like to be liked? Come on, I watch your Facebooks. How many of you guys like to be liked? Come on, tell the truth. You go on your Facebook, how many friends I got? I got 500 friends now. I'm going to go for 600. I got to beat that other person. And you post stuff, and what do you immediately do? Oh, I only got 4 likes on that? I better share it so somebody sees it again. You know, you would get kind of weird about stuff. We comment on it. You know why? Because all of us want to be accepted. We want to be liked. See, what God says is this. Great joy is this. I like you. In fact, I love you. In fact, there's nothing you can do to earn that from me. Now, our response should be worship, but he doesn't love us because we worship. We worship because he loved us. Amen? Amen. It's so easy humanly to get it all in reverse. We can't earn it. Forgiveness can't be earned. Acceptance can't be earned. Friendship can't be earned. That's not the way God works. And it's easy in the familiarity of our culture to miss the importance of Christmas. We can go through the whole season. We can have plays. Plays are glorious. The kids did a great job. The singing is cute. Kids dance. I love that stuff. It makes me wish my kids were still little. No, seriously, my kids are all in high school now. They're like, I ain't doing that, Dad. Yes, you are. Get up on the... No. I tortured them for years. They were in every play, you know. But it's cute and it's cool. But the reality is this. That can blur the importance of you meeting the Messiah. It's glorious. It's a depiction of it. But at the end of the day, this is about your heart and his. It's about you recognizing that he came for you personally. And, you know, when we read this in Luke, sometimes we don't catch the gap of time. So I already mentioned to you there was a 400-year period of silence between Malachi and when Luke wrote, Jesus shows up. Well, Isaiah spoke of this very passage nearly 800 years prior to it occurring. So this would be a prophetic utterance. This would be God speaking through a man who was a prophet to the nation saying, guess what? In the future, this is going to happen. I have not forgotten about anything going on with people. So this is out of Isaiah, who was a prophet to the nation Israel. In chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, he says this, "For a child will be born to us, and a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace, and on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and uphold it," this is important, "with justice and righteousness." There's lots of kingdoms in this world. Are they all just and are they all righteous? The answer is what? No. But God is perfect justice and perfect righteousness. And one of the attributes of God that I lean to so strongly. How many of you guys feel like things are unfair at times? Come on, no, you're human. Let's be honest. I did this. I didn't get that. I worked hard. I didn't get the promotion. How come nobody ever notices me? Blah, blah, blah. We're all, you know, it just is what it is, right? Am I talking to anybody? Am I the only weirdo in the room? Okay. So I just want to make sure. So sometimes we get lost in the kind of self-absorption of everything. But what God is really saying is this. In this season, I will not forget about people. I understand their need to be noticed, to be recognized, to be loved, to be accepted, to be called an inheritance to me, to belong to me. See, that's such a wild thought. Like, I don't think often we even get the magnitude or the majesty of what that would be. So 400 years of silence, 800 years before it happens, and he's saying this, I'm going to establish my kingdom, and it will be with a wonderful counselor, a mighty God, an eternal father who's a prince of peace. So I got a question for you. Do you think the Jews were aware of this passage? I know some of you are like, I don't know anything about the Bible. I'm just going to sit here and be quiet because I don't know. Those of you who know the Bible, did the Jews know about Isaiah?
Yes.
The answer is yes. In fact, the Jewish people were very, very devout. Like, unlike Americans, and I'm not trying to pick on you right now. I'm just speaking the truth. So don't get mad at me, okay? Say, Pastor, I'm not mad at you. You haven't said anything yet, so I don't know. But hey, I'll just... Listen, when you were raised in a Jewish culture, as soon as you were born from your mother's womb, when you were conceived, by the way, in Jewish culture, you were born when you were conceived. I think Americans got it wrong anyways. You're conceived, they would start reading scripture over you in the womb. And when you started to go, they would start to speak it over you. And like you can see this in Deuteronomy 6, it says, tell them when you walk in the way, when you rise up, when you lie down. In other words, you eat a meal, bless it. You go to bed, talk about the goodness of God. You rise in the morning, give them glory and honor. Everything about their world was understanding that God had a plan and a purpose. Still does. Still does. Not only does he have a big giant plan that's his interaction in the earth, he also has a plan for who? You, every one of us in the room. He's both global and personal, which is really amazing. Like, I've always been fascinated, like that thing that says that he knows the number of hairs on my head, even though they're less than they used to be. That's fascinating. Like, why would God even be interested in that? Because he's interested in you. Bible says that his thoughts toward you outnumber the sand on the seashore. I mean, can you even count? You can't even fathom that kind of a number. I mean, if you just grabbed a handful of sand, that would be a lot. Imagine all the sand on all the seashores in the earth. His thoughts are more than that amount. So they definitely knew when they heard of this stuff happening. They were aware of what was going on with the Isaiah prophecy and now it happening when we read in Luke, like I said, nearly 800 years later. So do you think that they missed it? Jesus coming on the scene, did they catch it or did they miss it? They missed it. And they were more knowledgeable than us. Even the kids know. Woohoo! I like it. The kids got it. They missed it. Okay. Wow, that was cool. I really did enjoy that more than you know. Because the old people are like, I'm not listening to you. I didn't miss nothing. And the kids are like, they missed it. You know? Reality is this, that we have the opportunity to connect with God, but often we do what? We miss it too. Listen, I've been walking with the Lord, it'll be 31 years in January. So I've been walking with Jesus longer than I haven't in my life. Okay, I became a Christian at 22. So in 52, almost 53 years of life, more of my life has been devoted to Jesus. Listen, this is the pastor of this church. Some of you guys know me well, some of you never met me before. I miss it all the time. You're like, a pastor saying that from the front? Yeah, I hope it gives you hope. I really do. Because if I can be a pastor and miss God sometimes, that means you can be a human and miss God sometimes, amen? See, because they missed it too. They were devout. They knew it. They read it. They studied it. They shared it with their families, and they missed it. So look at somebody next to you and say, I'm not going to miss it. I'm not going to miss it. See, now some of you are going doing this. I'm just doing what the pastor said, but I don't know what might I be missing? Okay, so listen, this is what you might be missing. This is what you could be missing. If you missed it, this is what you'd be missing, a wonderful counselor. You'd be missing this, marvelous advice. Marvelous advice. You guys have had that friend that gives really good advice? Yeah, Jesus is better than that. He really is. One of the things that I really lean to in my own walk with Christ is that I lean into the scriptures because I read them and they teach me how to do life. They teach me how to love better. They teach me how to be more patient and kind. And I know this, that when I'm in the Bible studying it, I've been in the Proverbs lately because I'm not that smart and I need to be smarter. Don't say amen. Just saying. But I need wisdom. So because I need wisdom, I go into the Proverbs and I read things and they speak to my heart. Like this week, I was reading and it kept talking about the fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord. And I really had this thought, God, do I reverence you that way like I used to? And I just had this sense, like he said, not like you used to. Like, you old folks, you crusty old folks, That's not an age I'm talking about. You've been a Christian a long time. Watch. You ever read those Bible verses and you're kind of like, blessed is he. I've read that before. And you skip down a few verses. Or you read it and you're daydreaming about whatever else. Yeah, it's easy to get like where you miss it. Get what I'm saying? See, it's easy to miss that there is a God who's full of wonderful advice. There is a God who desires to be in the mix of what's going on. Literally, if you break this down to Hebrew, it literally means this, that he has a wonderful plan for you. Okay, now, I want to be careful. So this is going to rub some of you guys. So say, Pastor, I love you. God has a wonderful plan for your life. I'm going to tell you what it is right now. You're like, you're going to tell me the story of my life? Yes. The wonderful plan for your life is to worship him first. You're like, well, I got a job to do, Pastor. I got some money to make. I got a house to buy. I got a car. I got these kids. They got to eat, Pastor. You just don't understand. I can't do this like faith thing the way you think I should do it. Truth is, I don't think you should do it that way. The Bible thinks you should do it that way. Jesus said this, of all the things you could potentially do, everything that you could potentially fathom to do in your life, be a provider for your home. Is it a good thing to be a provider for your home? Yeah. Is it a good thing to parent your kids and care for them? Absolutely it is. But watch, Jesus said of all the things you could potentially do, he said all of the law, all of the prophets, the whole Bible is summarized in this. Love God first. And then secondly, what does he say? To love other people the way that you love yourself. By the way, if you look on the wall right there, see that thing? That big thing says passion for God, compassion for people. You could translate that love God, love people. That's where that comes from. Because our church is about that, because that's what Jesus valued. Listen, I want to encourage you. You have a counselor who is wonderful and mighty, and he has a good plan for your life. But the plan starts with this, you worshiping him. Okay, I'm hurrying because I know there's kids in the room. So let's keep going. The second thing is mighty God. How many of you guys need strength? You need bravery. You need courage. God says, I got that for you. But you got to lean into me. So often we go, oh, I can do this. Yeah, come on, guys. I can do this. I'm just going to man up. Just going to dig in harder. You know what? I've been digging in harder for years. You know what it is? Exhausting. It really is. But when I stop and I go, okay, God, is there a smarter way? Is there a better way? I want to be humble before you. He always shows me a plan that doesn't make me exhausted. Guys, am I talking to anybody in the room right now? You can work really hard and end up getting nowhere. It's like running to stand still. Or you can say, God, what is your plan? And can I draw from your strength to go to where you call me to go? literally means the leaning into the mighty strength of God. He's an eternal Father. Now listen, I know that in this culture, in our generation, that many of you have experienced a fatherlessness. That your dad wasn't present, your dad's dad wasn't present. Maybe you know him, but you don't know him. Listen, this is what God says. I'm an eternal Father. I'm a God who never leaves. I'm a God that even though naturally speaking, somebody might have failed you, I won't fail you. You know, my dad passed away in 1995. I had a wonderful relationship with my dad. He was a good man. But when he left, I knew this, that there was a vacancy of wanting his counsel, his wisdom, his understanding, his input into my life. I mean, even today, he's been gone 20 plus years. Even today, there are times I think, man, I wish you were here, Dad, so I could just ask. And every time I think that, this runs through my heart. Honest to God, this runs through my heart. You already know what I would say. I'm like, yeah, but I want to hear you say it. God says this. You want to hear me say it? Sit with me a little bit. Talk to me a little bit. Listen to me a little bit, and I will reveal to you the plan for your life. And he says this. I'm also a Prince of Peace. Man, our world is full of busyness. How many of you guys have a busy schedule? You know, I've been trying to plan a fishing trip with my brother, Steve, who leads worship. You guys see him, you know, once a month he comes to leads worship. I've been trying to plan this fishing trip for months. But our schedules are what? Busy. Finally, I said this to him, Steve, the coupon. I have a 2-for-1 coupon. It's free. You don't even have to pay anything. We just got to get it on the calendar before the 31st. Or it expires. We don't get to use it. He's like, okay, Thursday. And I go on the computer. I'm like, so I'm going fishing Thursday and I'm going to win again. Anyways, that's a 10. I did. I caught the biggest fish last time. I won the jackpot on the boat. I really am so proud of that, to be honest. Listen, I want to close with a couple of thoughts. And Kevin, I wanted to invite you to come on up. You know, I don't want you to miss it. The same way I don't want me to miss it. See, all of us, in this journey of life, we have the potential to catch what God is doing or to miss what God is doing. And in this Christmas season, full of fun and joy and grace and excitement, all the things that each one of us experience in the season, buying gifts, and how many of you guys have been chasing around in malls? How many of you guys have been to Costco? Okay, listen, I'm gonna give you some counsel. Because Jesus gave this to me. Don't go to Costco. No, if you work there, I'm kidding. I went there, I couldn't believe the lines. And I went at like 10:30. The place was like packed. It's just amazing. I'm stalling to give Kevin some time if you didn't know that. So, but listen, we can miss what the season's about, can't we? It's easy to go through the Christmas season and not catch the majesty, the counsel, the presence of peace, the faithfulness of a father. It's so easy to go through this season and just miss entirely what God is trying to speak to us. So what's real? What's important? What's right? And how do we do it without letting life and busyness and demand interfere with that? See, listen, I want to encourage you, don't let life interfere. You're like, you're a pastor. You're supposed to say stuff like that. I'm talking to me too. I can go through this season and miss the beauty of it and the glory of it just as easily as any of you can. But I want us, as we close today, to just put some thoughts on the table, some things that maybe we want to think through and consider as we head into this Christmas season. In all of my life, I know this to be true. It takes humility and it takes honesty to connect with God. God says really clearly, I resist the proud, but I give grace to the humble. So listen, I want to encourage you. You know, you might have a hard time. Like, I'm not into this whole faith church thing. Like, I don't want to do it on their terms. You don't have to do it on my terms. Do it on God's. Connect with God. You need a relationship with Him more than He needs you to need one. You need a relationship with Him because He's full of grace and encouragement. And it takes humility and it takes honesty to worship Him. No one comes to the Father with a haughty spirit and a high thought. We come to Him low and humble, with integrity and honesty, saying, we need you. So listen, it doesn't matter if you've been walking with them a long time like me. If you're old and crusty in your faith, doesn't matter. If you're brand new, it doesn't matter if you're not even a Christian yet. God doesn't measure that. He just looks at the heart. And He says, where is your heart today? I'll take what you offered to me today, and I'll work with that with you, and I'll build it. Listen, I know in this room, some of you have never committed your heart to Jesus. You kind of think, oh, that's my mom's thing. I'm here because my little brother, my little sister were in the play. I'm here because I got invited and I'm the tio, I'm the uncle. Listen, can I help you? You got set up by God. That's what happened. I'm just telling you the truth. I got invited to so many things that I just thought I'm the uncle, not having any idea that that was part of the way that God was softening my heart to be open to Him. Listen, a lot of you are sitting in the room right now and God is softening your heart. You have this idea that, man, I'm doing life and I'm okay. Like, I'm okay, but I don't have a relationship with God. And that's what Christmas is about. A relationship with God and building forgiveness and humility and peace and presence into your life. So do you need a counselor? He's a counselor. He's a good one. You need somebody to come in and mend the curiosity and the confusion that's going on in your head? That's what God is about. My favorite thing, this is just me talking as a guy. My favorite thing about God is I'm like to the nth degree analytical. And He just comes and clears the confusion. I'll sit down and go, I could do it this way, I could do it that way. And He just comes in and says, stop. Do it that way. But that doesn't seem like a good idea, God. And He's like, really? He says, come on, some of you do exactly what I'm talking about. And He's just saying, listen, let's just do life together. I'll lead you in a way that you've never been led before, and I'll build in you what you could never accomplish if you'll just surrender your life to Me. Some of you in the room, you need strength. Physically, you're weak. Emotionally, you're weak. Spiritually, you're weak. And what God says is, I'm a God who brings strength. I'm a God who's mighty. Not mighty like I'm stronger and I can lift more weight than you. Mighty like I created everything. I hold the planets in their place, the stars in their place. Listen, and I'm interested in you. And I can hold you if you'll let Me. That's who God is. He's full of strength. He's full of possibility. And listen, I want to speak to some of you who I know in the room. Your heart is broken because over your life, you had a natural father, an earthly father, or maybe you struggled or failed as a father. God doesn't. He doesn't care about your failures, what was done in your past, or maybe what you did that came up short. He doesn't care about those things. What He does care about is this: will you let Me father you? Will you let Me do just like what I shared earlier? The voice of God to me is a father since my dad passed. So I go to Him for that wisdom today. And I listen to His voice and I seek the scriptures to know. He's saying, will you let Me into your world so that I can sustain and stabilize your life? And then if you don't want this, I think you're crazy. God offers peace to anybody that will come to Him. And peace is elusive. Peace is not the absence of war. Peace is the presence of a person called Jesus. And He's come to minister life to the hearts of people. And listen, I'm telling you as a guy who's done it and representing many people in the room who would say the same thing. It would be the best decision you'll ever make in your life, because you can't bring about the peace that you're looking for absent of God. Money doesn't bring you peace. I know that because I've made it. Made life a little easier at times, sometimes a little more confusing. But it didn't bring me peace. You know what brought me peace? A reconciled heart with God, a humble heart with God. And then when I did that, this is what He did that was more powerful. Once I made amends with Him, I started to be able to make amends with people. Marriage struggling, you want peace? God's the answer. Finances struggling, you want resources? God's the answer. Struggling with confusion in your soul? God's the answer. You're like, you're a pastor, you're supposed to say that. No, I've lived it. I've chased it. I've done it. And I know this, that God promises it. And every single person in this room who trusts God with their life would say this to you: best decision you'll ever make. Best decision you'll ever make. So listen, I want to ask you all to do this. I want to ask you to bow your heads. Because when I was praying about, God, how do I present this to a service with kids acting and singing and celebrating Christmas? And He said this: offer them Me as a gift. Because that's what I would offer them if I was here. If they were face to face with Me right now, I would say this to them: come to Me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. My yoke is easy, My burden is light. Listen, maybe you're in a spot you've never committed to Jesus. You've never even made, maybe you're even curious, like, I'm open, but I don't really know what that means. If that's you this morning, if you would say, I know I need something, I don't know exactly what that means, but I know that the way I'm doing it's not working right now. If that's you this morning, I want you to lift your hand. I want to pray for you. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. I see your hand. Thank you. I see your hand. I see your hand. I see your hand. Listen, I want to encourage you. I don't want to move on yet. There's a lot more of you in the room. Like, the way that it goes inside your heart as you're sitting here thinking in your head, you're going, do it, don't do it. What does that mean if I give up? Listen, that's confusion. And God says, peace. Just invite me and I'll lead you. You don't have to get it all right. You don't have to get it all perfect. You just have to invite me to be God and I'll show you the way. Again, if it's you, lift your hand. I don't want to miss the opportunity for you to start your journey with Jesus. If that's you, lift your hand. I see your hand. You know, in a room like this, I also know this, that some of you come to church every week, but your heart is not with God. And it's not because you're rebelling or angry. It's just because life is life sometimes. And I just want to encourage you, if you're in that spot this morning, God just wants you to come with humility. It's saying to Jesus, I already know, but I need you more. If that's you this morning, if you say, I already know you, but I need you more. I need more of your presence, your peace, your possibility. If that's you this morning, lift your hand. I want to pray for you. There are lots of hands going up. Lots of hands going up. So, Father, we come before you this morning, and we're going to pray together this prayer. Whether you raised your hand for the first time or you're raising your hand for additional strength, or you didn't raise your hand because you're doing okay with God, we're going to pray this together. And say this out loud and after me. Say, Dear Jesus, I want you to be Lord of my life. Bring your peace to me. Bring your counsel to me. Be a father to me. And give me strength. I worship you this morning. Forgive me of my sins. Show me the plan you have for me. And fill me with your Holy Spirit so I can follow that plan. Thank you, God. Together and let's sing one song together before we go. And if you lifted your hand, we have a book for you in the back. And it's just about initial steps of what it means to be a Christian. Like, how do I build a relationship with God? Because a lot of times we raise our hands in a moment like this and we think, yes, God, I want something different. But then we walk out of the room and we're like, wow, I don't know what that means and I don't know what to do. But we have it's just a little book. It's not big and it's free. And it's just our way of saying we want to be here as a church to help you, not only as you go home, but here every week to help you continue to grow and build your relationship with God. But with that, let's sing. Let's worship him together.
Tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Shepherds kept their watching over silent flocks by night. Behold, the wrath of heavens has shown the holy light. Go tell it on mountains, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountains that Jesus Christ is born. Down in the lonely manger, was born, and God sent us salvation that blessed Christmas morn. Oh, go tell it on the mountain. mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ was born. Oh, go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ was born.
Speak quickly over you a Christmas blessing, that you would go knowing that God is for you, knowing that He loves you, that He blesses you. And as you go to hang out with family, I know you're not going today because it's the 23rd, but you're going to see family tomorrow and the following day. I pray that Jesus would make Himself known to you and that you would enjoy the majesty of the season, full of hope and possibility for mankind. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Go with peace.